Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And Lord, we need your presence here. We need more of you. Lord, open your word for us today and open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, we seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We enter the Holy of Holies. We enter by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy of Holies. Thank you, worship team, because you helped get us there. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews today, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I'm going to talk mainly about those three verses, and I'm going to focus mainly on verse 16. So, there we go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Of course, they're talking about Jesus Christ. Paul's talking about Jesus Christ, isn't he? A great high priest. It used to be that they would, the high priest would enter for the people through the veil, beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat. Jesus now is our great high priest. It says he's our great high priest. None of the other priests are referred to as great. It says he was tempted in all ways as we are. A little further on in the chapter 5 and also in Psalms, I think it's 110, it also says that he's a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. A high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He's not of the Aaronic priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was based on sacrifices that we made to God. But Jesus, his priesthood is based on the sacrifice that he made to God for us. Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. He's also referred to as the King of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. Nobody knows where he came from. He has no beginning or end. Some people think that says that he's Jesus Christ. I tend to think not, but I'm not right about everything. Who is? But I don't think it was. I think where it says that he has no beginning, no end, that there's no genealogy listed for him. He just came out of nowhere. I believe he's a type of Jesus Christ because he brought wine and bread to Abraham. And Jesus, of course, brought wine and bread to us, didn't he? We recognize that and we celebrate that on Communion Sunday and at other times also. The King of Righteousness, the King of Salem. Salem was a place. If you look at the name Jerusalem, you'll see the name Salem at the very end, and that's what's being spoken of there. He's the priest of the Most High God. God, God Most High, El Elyon. That's a name we don't hear very often, is it? When it refers to God. But it's really a powerful, powerful name for God. El Elyon. God of heaven and earth. God, possessor of heaven and earth. says that Jesus, our high priest, passed into the heavens. And because he has done that, let us hold fast our professions. Doesn't mean occupations. It means professions. It's what we profess, not what we do for a living. Of course, as we follow our occupation, we can still profess Jesus Christ, can't we? And we should. The high priest presented a sacrifice, and he became a mediator between God and the people. And he interceded for the people. Jesus is our mediator, and he did all those things. He presented the sacrifice, and then he went up and presented it before God, and God accepted it. First Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, making intercession." Romans 8, 34 says that he is now at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Does that bring comfort to you? It should, shouldn't it? Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm going to break this verse down, and we're going to look at just about every word in it. It says, let us as a group, but also as individuals, let each one make the choice to come before him when we need to come before him. We need to come before him even when we don't think we need to, because we always need to, don't we? Let us therefore, there's that word. What do you think of when you hear the word therefore? You have to wonder what it's there for, right? And what is it there for? "Since we have a great high priest who is tempted in all ways, who experienced the things that we experience, who knows what we feel, who knows what we're going through, because he's been there. Therefore, because of all that, we can come to him. We can come into the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lamb. We can come. Let us therefore come." It's always an invitation. We see it all throughout the Bible. The first time it's mentioned is in the book of Genesis. See, God didn't tell Noah to go into the ark. He said, come. And we see that word throughout the Bible. "Ye who thirst, come and drink. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and follow me. Master, where are you staying? Come and see. Come and see." The verb "come" is in the present continual tense. We don't just do it once. We have to continually come until it becomes a habit. It becomes a way of life. They say if you do something 20 days in a row, then it becomes a habit. Well, I think this is a lifelong thing that we have to work on, and we have to remember. We can come to him. And we find the word "come" or a word similar to it 7 times in the book of Hebrews. This is the first time. And how do we come to the throne of grace? Boldly. I think this is the key word in the whole verse. It literally means saying all or bringing it all with confidence. Pour out your heart before him Come as you are. Say what you feel. Ask what you need. It's an attitude. Does that mean we come stomping into the room? Not necessarily. We come knowing who He is and knowing who we are in Him. Makes me think of Elijah back in 1 Kings chapter 19. The first time he's mentioned in the Bible, we see him walking into King Ahab's office or into his throne room. And he says, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, it's not going to rain until I say it does. Then he turns around and walks out. Isn't that amazing? Imagine someone doing that to a president or Secret Service agent says, where'd he come from? I don't know, but he sure was dressed funny. Come boldly. This attitude implies a boldness of faith. There was a man named Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of him? He was an incredible preacher, but he was also an incredible man of faith. He had a funny name, but he had incredible faith. In fact, some people say that his faith was reckless. He just believed God. Period. He had incredible boldness of faith. How reckless is your faith? How reckless is my faith? How real is our faith? When our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, is He really going to find faith in the earth? Is He really going to find faith in me? In you? It says that in Luke chapter 18, that question is asked. And I always feel challenged by it. And that's good. How much faith will He find in us? Will it be near reckless faith or wimpy faith? And remember, throughout eternity, what will they be saying about each one of our faith? Are we going to be remembered or thought of or talked about through eternity for our faith, our incredible faith, our boldness of faith? Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Unto. We have to direct our steps to it. There has to be purpose. There has to be a goal that we set, that we aim for. There's a destination to the throne. Do we know the way? Yeah. What about the obstacles? There's always obstacles, isn't there? There's always going to be obstacles. There's always giants in the land. But our God is bigger than any of those giants. And God keeps that way open now, doesn't He? That veil going into the Holy of Holies was torn, was ripped when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then after He ascended to heaven, He passed into the heavens. He passed in to the presence of the Father. And He's doing all the things there that the high priest did for the children of Israel. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne. A throne is a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of royalty. It's a symbol of rule. And that throne isn't empty, is it? We come unto the throne, but we have to also allow that throne to come into us. We have to allow Him to establish His throne in our heart. To be willing to be subject to Him. We have to accept and receive Him. All of Him, not just that which He can do for us. Every part of Him. It says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne. There's only one. To the throne of grace. Anybody know what grace is? Undeserved favor. The Bible talks about grace and mercy, and I believe mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting something you don't deserve. Don't ever ask God to give you what you deserve. What do we deserve? But God's mercy spared us from that. The throne of grace. We're not entitled to it. We're not worthy to receive it. But He's worthy to give it. Sometimes our focus is wrong. We look too much to ourselves. He decrees it from the throne. A royal proclamation. He speaks, and it is. He that spoke the heavens and earth into existence speaks grace into our lives, and it is. There was a man in the Bible, a centurion, that came to Jesus, or some of the records of it say he sent someone to Jesus, but actually in that culture it's the same thing. So if you think there's a contradiction there, there isn't, because whoever he sent came under the authority of him, so it was like he came. But he came to Jesus wanting healing for his servant. And he said, I'm a man of authority. I tell someone to go and they go. So you don't need to come, because all you have to do is say it. Just speak it and it will be. And Jesus marveled at his faith. All he has to do is speak it. That we may obtain mercy. That we might. What would prevent it? Unconfessed sin? Unforgiveness? Not being in His will? It helps to have a relationship with Him too, doesn't it? In fact, that's most important. That we may obtain mercy. We may obtain. He says, here it is. Come and get it. Exodus 33:19, and he said, God speaking, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's mercy, God's grace. To obtain mercy and to find grace. Find grace? Do we have to seek grace? Do we have to look for it? Seek it out? That almost sounds contradictory to what I've been taught. But actually, I think what it means is that we have to seek the throne. We have to seek Him. And then we find grace when we find Him. To help in time of need. He meets us at the point of need, in the time of need. When is this? Could be daily, could be hourly. For most of us, it is, isn't it? Our time of need. We come boldly before the throne. This verse always makes me think of the book of Esther. If I can turn there with one hand, I can. In chapter 5, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. So it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Esther was going into the throne room before the king to plead for her people that were going to die. They were going to be killed. She thought that maybe there's a very good chance that if she entered in there without being beckoned, that she was going to die. And she said, if I perish, I perish. You know, I always had this picture of Esther kind of behind the curtain, looking in, peeking in, and maybe the king sees you. And I went back and read it again, and I thought, where do I ever get the idea of a curtain? There's no curtain in that account. But yet, back in those times, into the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain, wasn't there? So maybe that's just something that was just provided to me. I don't know. But she could come. He held up the scepter and allowed her to come. If he hadn't done that, she would have died. But something happened between then and now. The veil was torn between us and the Holy of Holies, between us and the mercy seat, between us and the presence of God. This happened while Jesus Christ was dying on the cross for our sins. And after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, he passed into the heavens and is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Hallelujah. Good news? Good news. I don't know about you, but I need all the intercession I can get. Because I'm still a work in progress, right? Anybody else here still a work in progress? But that's good too, isn't it? John Newton said, I'm not what I was, or I'm not what I want to be. Not what I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I was. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before you, knowing who we are and knowing who you are, knowing that we will be received and accepted, knowing that the pathway, the way into your presence is open for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you do provide grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have been there. You know what it's like to be tempted. You know what it's like to experience problems. As much, if not more, than any of us. Lord, just help us to focus our heart and our lives towards you and to your throne. Lord, I pray that you'd be with everybody today, that you'd go with each one of us, that you'd keep us close to you by your side. And Lord, I pray that everything we do brings glory to your name. Bring us back tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes our service.